We're looking at chapter 8 of the book of Matthew, and you have an insert with some sermon notes there that we'll look at in a minute. Chapter 8 has a number of, this is right after the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is coming down off the mountain, and there are these several little stories that I want to sort of tie in under the title, Are You Sure You Want to Do This? Are you sure you want to do this? And the first story is, we'll come back to these, but is he meets a leper, and the leper says, if you can heal me, if you were willing, would you heal me? And Jesus heals him. The second story is the faith of a Roman centurion, captain of the guard, and he says, his servant is in need of healing, would you heal him? And Jesus healed the servant. And then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then when evening came, there were a bunch of folks that came who had possessed by a different kind of spirit, and he heals many. As Isaiah said, he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. And then he comes to this text, which is coming up, I think, on the screen now. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross the other side of the lake. And then a teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher. And I have a feeling, I hadn't noticed this before until just this second. Teacher of the law said, Teacher. We can identify, he's saying, Jesus. I'm one of you and you're one of me and we're together on this. We understand each other, don't we? You can sort of read between the lines. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied in a way he didn't expect. This is no sort of security professorship job here we're talking about. He says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. You'll understand that, won't you? I mean, anybody would understand that. And Jesus says, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Wow. Now, let me stop there. Let's pull back there. Let me come back to that. If you'll bring that text back. You know, I'm not sure what Jesus was doing there, except we know from certain scholars who travel in the Middle East, one or two particularly, both long time ago and more recently, they were seeking a guide in the Middle East. And somebody said, go to so-and-so, he'd be a great guide. So he goes and said, would you be my guide for several days? And the person said, sure, but first I got to go and bury my father. And it happened that the father was sitting right there beside him. And he was in great health. And this was a way of saying, sure, I'll follow you, but I'm going to stay with my dad for the next number of 20 years or 30 years, and then I'll follow you. And by the way, I'll collect the inheritance first, and then I'll follow you. So this was sort of a circumlocution, probably, that we may not understand when we first read it. So now let's go to the next. Then he got in the boat, and the disciples followed him without warning, and a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And he replied, oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we pray that you'll speak to my heart and through my feeble words to communicate the message you would have for us in the way you would have it to come across. Speak to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is, Are You Sure You Want to Do This? And the text particularly is out of that one where the teacher said, Teacher, I will follow you. And he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place where to lay his head. Are you sure you want to do this? And another person said, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus says these pretty strong words. So are you sure you want to follow Jesus today? That's the question. And I want to suggest four or five things from these stories. Number one, are you sure you want to follow him? Because it means putting yourself under someone else's authority. And that's not easy for us in our world today because we're taught to self-actualize and be our own person. All of that is probably good, but this notion of being obedient to somebody is foreign language to us. The text there, chapter 8, verse 9, that's the centurion, the Roman centurion, who isn't a follower of Israel, of God, the God of Israel, not a person of Israel. He's a Roman. We don't know what he believed in. But he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my servant is ill. Would you heal him? And Jesus said, sure, I'll come to your house. And the guy said, wait a minute. No, you don't need to come to my house. You just speak the word. He said, I'm in charge of a number of soldiers, and I'm a person of authority. And when I tell people what to do, they do what they say. So you just speak the word. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. And he spoke the word, and the servant was healed. And Jesus understood. Jesus suggests that our willingness to obey is like faith. He equated faith and willingness to follow authority. Are you willing to put yourself under his authority? Are you willing to say, Jesus, I'm not sure what this means, but I want you to be in charge of my life. Wow. That's what he's talking about. Somebody sent me a cartoon. I think it'll come up on the next. This is Kermit the Frog. Remember Kermit the Frog? And it says, have a seat, Kermit. What I'm about to tell you might come as a big shock to you. Can you see the hand, the arm and the hand in there? What arm, whose arm and hand is inside of you? That's a good question. If you say it's my own, well, don't be so sure. We think we're the master of our own fate. I don't know about that. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to come under my authority. So check that out before you say yes to him. Second, following Jesus means you spend a lot of time with strange people. Look around. I mean, really, this text that I read, chapter 8, verse 16, when evening came, many who were possessed by a strange spirit were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. That is to say, the people that followed Jesus were people who'd been kind of messed up. Not like any of you and me. Let me tell you about my third, fourth, fifth worst day of my life, Friday. Friday was just a terrible day. I'd stayed up Thursday night into Friday morning till 1 o'clock. I was working on a couple projects. One of them with Asbury Seminary, all academic institutions are in a financial difficult situation. I was involved with that. I was typing up some other projects and things. So I didn't get to bed till 1 o'clock, got up the next morning. I checked on my car radiator, and it was empty, and it smelled. And I thought, oh, brother, I've got a problem. I can't drive my car anywhere. So I kept working. I had to do a bunch of stuff. And I got a couple of other calls of seeming emergencies, and my day was going downhill. And I arranged to meet Jan down where I was going to drop the car off. I thought I could get it down there. So I was hurrying down there. It was about 12:30. I was supposed to meet her at 12:30. And I was flying. No, I was driving down 43rd Street. I was going down a little bit fast. And I don't know if you've been down that street lately, but there were some police officers there on a motorcycle. And I said, oh, no. And the lights went on, and I pulled off, and I didn't know them. And they weren't members of the church. Isn't that terrible? Oh. I said, okay, go ahead and write me up. Oh, it's just terrible. And so I went, and they didn't get a whole lot better. And then that evening, John Kirkpatrick called me and said, Dan, for our Emmaus meeting tonight, would you give the devotional? I thought, right, I'm in a great mood for giving a devotional. And I talked on this text because Jesus took those who were possessed by a spirit of frustration. You ever had one of them? Or a spirit of anxiety, or a spirit of mad at the world, or a spirit of anxiousness about jobs, about whatever. And Jesus healed them. And I tend to, when I read those texts, I think of other people who are strange, and I thought, oh no, I'm the one. And we are at times. But the good news is, we're all in the same boat. and he heals us. So when you sign up for this, you're among strange people. Yesterday afternoon, I visited the hospitals. I visited Frank Martin. I was glad I was there. We had a circle of prayer with Gene and the two of the kids, and then he died this morning at 2:00. But then I came home, and one of the bathroom sinks was leaking, and I said, "Oh, I can knock that out in a few minutes." Oh, gee. 125 trips later to the hardware store, and I still haven't got it fixed. But I'm in a great mood this morning. I want you to know that. Yeah. You know, you're spending time with strange people, us. The good news is he took up our infirmities and carries our burdens. And I had a feeling every time Jesus brings healing to me, my attitude, he takes it up again and he carries it again. And I can imagine it being heavy, can't you? And sometimes I just take it for granted. Jesus, forgive me. I have no conception of as when the woman touched the hem of his garment and he felt power go out from him. And I have a feeling when you and I follow him and we enter into the art of intercessory prayer, praying for others, we also take up their infirmities and carry their burdens. Are you sure you're up for that? Loading yourself up? Are you sure that's what you want to do? It means spending time with strange people. Number three, it means buying into organized religion. I know people don't like organized religion. I've heard all that. But I've been around disorganized religion. That's really a problem. Notice what Jesus did when the leper, first person he saw when he came down off the mountain. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I'm willing, be clean." And then he says, "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded and as a testimony to them." What's he saying? He's talking about Leviticus chapter 14. Jesus wasn't getting rid of the old. He said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, "I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law." He wasn't coming to do away with the old, but to build on it. And that's organized religion, and he wanted to add to it. This new service David is talking about is we're really excited about it. Friday night starting the week after Easter. It's going to be loud. It's going to be great. It's going to be not to do away with the old, but it's to add on to it. Organized religion. Yesterday, this Andrew's group was organized. This Saturday is going to be organized. Theban Ministry, it's organized. Financial Peace, it's organized. Disciple Program, it's organized. All that good stuff comes when we work together. Number four, it means no more excuses. You're really committed. And that's what Jesus was driving at when this teacher of the law said, "Teacher, I'll follow you." And Jesus says, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." I think he was saying, "Look, I can't promise you security and I can't promise you certainty. If you're going to follow me, you're not going to always know where you're going to be led. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to deal with the uncertainty of following Jesus, even though you're not sure, is that going to mean in getting involved here or getting involved there or doing this or doing that? Are you willing? No more excuses. Jesus, I'll follow you. I don't know where you're going, but I trust you." And then this person said, "But first let me bury my father." I think what he was doing was he's really good at putting a really lousy excuse into really good language that he thought nobody could argue with. Anybody here good at that like me? Have you ever said, "Let me think about that," with the idea you're going to get back to them and you know darn well you're never going to get back to them? That's what's going on here. And sometimes we get really good with words and we say, "Jesus, let me take care of this first and then I'll follow you." And that word "first," so much turns on that, because earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven first, and then all these other things will be added to you." But if you put something else first, then everything else falls apart. And all of us can bear testimony to that if we're honest. When we put everything else first, anything else first. And I have a feeling Jesus could say to that person, "You put me first, you'll be able to take care of your father really, really well. Don't worry about that. But put that first. Number five, it means being surprised with the frequent moments of amazement and mercy, mystery. They got in the boat. They thought it was going to sink. They woke Jesus up and he calmed the storm. And they were filled with amazement. And they said, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? Are you sure you want to do this? You sure you want to follow him? Let's look at the five answers. Number 1A, since you're going to always be under somebody else's authority, who's better than the one who created you and loves you? Absolutely true. You're going to be under somebody else's authority, whether you like it or not. Who better than the one who created you and loves you and gave himself for you, the shepherd of the sheep? You can trust him. And you can learn to trust him more and more. Number 2, people whose lives have been touched by grace and love, these strange people, they know life without both and with both. And because they know what it's like not to have grace and to have grace, they want to live now with a sense of gratitude for everything and therefore are great to be around. Remember that story Jesus told about Simon who had Jesus over and all these Pharisees, and the woman broke in and she broke open that alabaster jar and anointed his feet with their tears and wiped them with her hair. And Simon was appalled, and Jesus said, look, she's been forgiven much. She knows what grace and love is about. And she's a delight to be around. You, Simon, and the rest of you, you haven't done one thing for me. You've just sat there to watch with a ready to pounce. You know, we can be strange. That's not bad. But if we're filled with grace because of what Jesus has done for us, wow, that's wonderful. Number 3, we can do far more good together than we can separately, and that takes organization, and I've already touched on that. Thanks be to God for organized religion. Number 4, constant fence-sitting means you never get your feet on the ground and go anywhere or do anything. I wonder if somebody here has been sitting on the fence too long. Have you? Jesus, I will, but first, well, I want to get this straight. No. Today, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then number 5, the amazement and mystery that Jesus brings is like an oasis in a desert of the reasonable and mundane. Let's spend the rest of our lives exploring together the question the disciples ask. What kind of man is this? Remember when your first kids were born? I remember when our kids were both born. It was amazement. I remember when our 5 grandkids were born. It was amazement. Each time I baptized them, it was amazement. And this next Sunday, Jan and I are going to travel, and we're going to go up and baptize little Sarah Ruth in Virginia. And it will be a sense of amazement at God's love. Let's spend the rest of our lives in amazement of who Jesus is. Would you pray with me? Almighty and loving God, we give you thanks. We pray that you'll touch our lives now. Help someone who's resisted, who's been macho, and they think they're in charge, but help us put ourselves under your authority. Thank you that we get to spend time with strange people who are touched by your grace. And we all know it. And we all know we're human. And we all know we're loved by you. Thank you for organized religion. Help us to get rid of these excuses and just say yes. And now fill our lives with your sense of your amazement of who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.